see the Lord. Beloved, glory to God in the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and King, and the Holy Spirit, the friend and companion, supervisor and fellow worker in the worship and service of God, life and conduct and social order in the world. Yesterday, we had a landmark experience discussing the topic, the meaning and significance of salvation. We were led to understand, understanding of the nature, purpose, and works of salvation as initiated and set in motion or in place by God the Creator for all who believe in Him and would want to worship Him and conduct their affairs in the knowledge of Him, His will and eternal plans for the human race and the rest of creation, even His creation. We noted in this regard that the gospel message in John 3:16, that is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This basic gospel message is central to what we describe as the divine salvation package. We observe that the hope of salvation, which of God the Creator, is faith in Jesus Christ, His teachings, and His works. That without faith in Jesus Christ, acceptance, respect, and observance of His teachings and works, there can be no basis and hope of salvation and redemption of man and an acceptable and meaningful worship of the Creator. We demonstrated yesterday that forms of worship are not important, but the central issue is, who is the Spirit being honored? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it an angel? Is it the spirit of a human being? Is it a demon? What is the spirit that is being honored? Shall we say, even in the name, so-called name of God? There are many churches, there are many religions, there are many gatherings. And yesterday we made the announcement and declared that any such gathering, any religious activity, any worship system that does not recognize Jesus Christ has no basis or calling itself a faith of God. Because God has appointed only one man by which the human race shall be saved. And there's only one way by which that salvation shall come. That faith in that one man, whose name is whom? Jesus Christ. That any other proposition, any other arrangement, and any other spirit that shows itself as if it were a mediator, or in a way a representative, or a prophet, or an apostle, or whatever of God, is a liar. Jesus said, those who came after Him, there were many that were liars. Therefore, the people didn't follow them. But He had come that people might have life and have it more abundantly. Today, there are followers of those who are of the lying nature. Those that the Lord, the people did not receive. Those that did not have opportunity before the presence of God. And those that God Himself has identified as idols and demons and rebellious and disobedient spirits and have been cast out of heaven. And in the case of man, has been cast out of the Garden of Eden. These are people that are spirits and powers that have nothing to do with God the Creator. And God has appointed only one man to be the mediator between man and God. And that one man is not a human being, but God Himself turned Himself as a human being to be the mediator of Him to Himself. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And the Bible therefore declares, even by the mouth of the Son himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father. No one cometh to him, but by him. That nobody can find the Father. He told the disciple, if you have found me, you have found the Father. If you want to know the Father, here am I. It is enough to know me. Myself, I am sufficient for you. It's not a false claim. Because the Father himself said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Therefore, there's an agreement between the Father and the Son. And John the Baptist declared that except it was given to him, he couldn't have made such declarations. And the Holy Spirit was given to him without measure. Hallelujah. And in any case, before he, John, came, Jesus was. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, he am. Or he is. Or he was. Therefore, there's no question somebody can take allegiance from Abraham or any other spirit of power that can claim Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. That can claim. I say, whether it's a spirit from heaven, or a spirit from the sea, a spirit from the forest, a spirit, Harubatuni, that spirit fire, or make fire to come from heaven, it is a liar. And I declare on these grounds, that the mouth of the liars will cease tonight. In the name of Jehovah, the mouth of the lions, of the liars, we cease to land. The flatterers, the deceivers, the throttle and taxi pastors and apostles and religious leaders. Today, they take anybody, anyhow, anywhere. Today, it is seized. Whether you agree or not, I say it is decreed that it is seized. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I told you that it is not just one man or a group of people accepting God, but Christ can be accepted on behalf of the whole nation. And this is what Ghana Evangelical Assembly and the church in Ghana has done. We have stood on behalf of the Almighty, and we have stood on behalf of all men in Ghana, the church and government of Ghana, and we have reconciled Ghana. Therefore, Ghana is a purchased possession by the blood of the Lamb, by the working power of the Holy Spirit before God. And therefore, there is no spirit that can succeed in this nation. There's no power that can take over the nation anymore. We declare and decree. Today, you are not decreed. Jesus or Christ decreed it already. Hallelujah. But we affirm the decree, the declaration and decree, that nothing of any other spirit of power or system or religious power or system can succeed. We decree and stop their mouths. Your Ghana has accepted only Jesus Christ as a mediator. If you agree, clap for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was coming this evening, I saw a book written by one doctor, Professor Yao Wusu, a Baptist pastor, that was saying that Ghana should, or Africa, should adopt Nkrumah's philosophy as a religious paradigm for the reconstruction of Africa. And I saw this British, that's Baptist pastor, has got missing. He's got missing in the wilderness. He's lost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I praise the Lord. How can Nkrumah tell us a religious system? There's only one religious system that is agreed. Hallelujah. Salvation is by grace what? In whom? And what? The sacrifice that was made where? On the cross. And Jesus said, the Bible says, it's not of what? Works. By what? By grace. And God has appointed that men should live according to the purpose of God, which he ordained where? Before the foundations of the world. Hallelujah. The system of salvation, the system of human redemption, the system of restoration of man, the system of reconstruction and reorganization of a human society has already been arranged in heaven. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, God set things in motion, and Jesus appeared and brought order. Hallelujah! There cannot be any alternative. I say there cannot be any alternative. Praise the Lord. This is why the learned theologians are confused. Because they don't even know Jesus Christ. They don't know the message of Christ. It's not Jesus Christ is not a religious proposition. And therefore you cannot present another religious proposition vis-a-vis the Christian faith. Praise the Lord. Christ does not come to present religion. Christ comes to offer himself as the mediator, as the salvation, as the redemption, as the righteousness, as the eternal life, and as the eternal glory for man. Period. And there's no other side proposition. Amen. Amen. I want to suggest that if you are believing in Jesus Christ, then you have found a real life. He said, I am the way what? I am truth and what? I am life. Amen. And social reconstruction shall be according to the works ordained by what? God. And the Bible said the steps of the righteous what? Are ordered. Ordered by whom? God. So you cannot tell me that Kwame Nkrumah's theory of socialism from African humanism is sufficient for reconstruction. As if you are teaching as a pastor with a degree, a professor of theology or whatever he calls himself, tells the whole world and tells Africa that Africa shall abandon the salvation that is through faith in whom? Jesus Christ. And I tell salvation or social reconstruction according to some theory of Nkrumah and traditional religion and humanistic theology, socialist theologies mixed back. What a Confucianist. These are the false prophets and the false redeemers. Jesus said, these are false Christ that shall come up. They will tell you another way. And if you see them there, don't follow them. They have no that professor or Dr. Yao or Usu or something. He's a Confucianist. So any pastor that is preaching another gospel is a Confucianist. Every pastor that does not think that Jesus Christ is the sole mediator and the only one by whom man shall be saved is a Confucianist. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about the soul of man. I'm finding rest. Yes, I am the way. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you what? Rest. Rest of the world. Your souls. Who can make such a claim? Amen. Amen. I am not angry. But when people want to fool you by their learnings, the Bible says it doesn't take the wisdom of the world to find Christ. It is the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them to what? Perish. That's why I'm saying if you have found a church that such theologians or such pastors or such ministers or archbishop or bishop are running around, they are just deceiving you and they are sending you to hell. But get out of such places in the name of whom? Jesus. And don't follow any religious guru. I declare and decree on these grounds in the name of what? Jesus. Clap for Jesus for me, please. Hallelujah. We noted in this respect that the salvation that is of God, the salvation that is of God, the salvation that is of God is essentially a spiritual proposition. It's a spiritual proposition that it hinges on three things. Number one, trust in God through faith in whom? Jesus Christ. If you want the salvation that is of God, there can be salvation that is of man. There can be a salvation that is of Satan. There can be a salvation that is of God. There can be a salvation that of a man or a spirit that drinks blood. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Bible, the salvation that is of God, the Creator, is as if you are trusting Him through faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Number two, it requires the acceptance of the proposition of the blood of Christ for remission of sins. You have to accept the central issue of the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. without the shedding of the blood, not the blood of a goat, not the blood of animals, not the blood of a ram, not the blood of a snake, not the blood of another human being, but the blood that was shed once and for all generations, before, during, and after Jesus Christ, that one blood is sufficient for all generations and all times. He said he's omnipresent. Therefore, he was there when sin started in the Garden of Eden, and he made provision in that. And when the fullness of time came, he provided that proposition, that blood, for the remission of sins in himself, by himself. And that is the only way that there can be remission of sins. That's the only way that can be re-entry or bring a new fellowship with the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Without the shedding of blood, and not any blood, but the blood of whom? Jesus Christ. That is the basis of the new covenant that the church teaches. Amen. Number three, it hinges on the acceptance and receiving of the Spirit of Christ into the inner being of the believer. Number one, you must believe that you are a sinner and you need God and you want to worship God. And the Bible says if you want to worship God, there's a mediator who can stand in for you. His name is God. What? Jesus. Number two, this mediator, what did he do? He shed his blood on Calvary cross for you and accept it. If you do that, you have followed step number two. Step number three, that then you must be born again. You must receive who into yourself? Christ. So that your life will be based not upon yourself or your spirit, which is a sinful spirit, but now your life shall be based on the Christ spirit that you have received. This serves as a basis of reconnection with God, or better still, reconnection with the Spirit of God, the Father. And this is the basis of the eternal life promise. If the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and the promise eternal life, the eternal life is the Spirit of Christ that you have received. That is the basis, because he is the light and life. And he's the one, he's the tree of life. And he's the one that can grant you dispensation to receive eternal life. A spirit that is sinless, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom. So he has a light, his spirit is sinless, and his spirit can make entrance. Hallelujah. So his spirit is the key to the kingdom of heaven. It is not Peter having a key to open the gates of heaven. It is the faith in Christ and receiving of Christ. That is the key to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. The significance of the remission of sins, the cancellation of condemnation and regeneration, or the new birth of the believer, is that the believer is born anew or afresh spiritually and brought into the divine nature, a spirit power system, a son or daughter of God. This is the basis. There is, in this regard, entry into the inheritance of the riches of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you are born again and fed by the Spirit of Christ, the heavenly door is open to you. You have fellowship with God because there's reconnection with God. Hallelujah. And then, since you have received Christ in you, then you have gained an entrance into the inheritance of the riches of God, which are found and are available in whom? Jesus Christ. Freely ye receive. It's freely given. You don't have to work for it. Just believe. Hallelujah. So, beloved, I'm saying that the riches in Christ, or the riches of God in Christ, is this entrance that you make into the divine nature. And we learned yesterday further that the inheritance of the rich in the riches of in Christ includes not only the authority, power, and glory as child of God, but also a standing in Christ. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we discussed this standing in Christ. He said he has been highly exalted, sat on the right-hand side of Father, and we are in him. He's been given a name above every name. He's now standing above every principality and power. And then Ephesians 2 tells us that this is in the church. You know, it's transmitted that position into the church. And that by talking of that, the church is also exalted to stand in higher places. That in the name of Jesus, you can speak. As I said just now, that we are crossing a river. And though the Red Sea will swallow the false chariots that are chasing the true children of Israel, praise the Lord, into the promised land, God has brought salvation through faith. The church is prospering. And people, false teachers and false prophets and liars and pretenders and hypocrites have entered into the church. And they are now wanting to take advantage and divert the glory of God for themselves or for their gods that they worship behind the scenes. And today we cancel those powers in the name of whom? Jehovah. And so we are able to stand that we are assuming the position of Christ and we are standing in Christ to decree that these people will be swallowed in the Red Sea. If you agree with me, say what? Amen. So you see, I'm talking about you are standing in Christ as a child of God. So you are not a son of God, but you are a son of God. But you are also now what? Standing where Christ what? Stood. Where angels fear to tread. Because angels are not given the authority to be children of the Most High. They are ministering spirits. But we are children of the Most High. And we have taken on Christ. And Christ is the one that created the angels. So I don't go to a church and ask for angels to minister to me. If the angels are ministering to me, okay. But I don't worship angels. And angels are only there at my bidding. I declare and the angels will follow. So I don't go and worship an angel. And if you go to a church where they are worshiping angels, they say, oh, the angels are coming. Then they are falling. Falling angels who are coming to deceive you. Don't go to a place where fallen angels are being worshipped. Because fallen angels have been rejected. And they have no entrance in the mercy side or the righteous side of the kingdom of God. They are in the judgment side of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Therefore, don't follow them anymore. In the name of whom? Hallelujah. In and with Christ, in the riches and glory of sonship, as well as his exalted position as Savior, Redeemer, Lord and King, and the restorer of the human lost glory as Lord of creation, including Lord of creation. And this includes what? Angels, all things, of all things, principalities and powers, and all men, and the reign of and rule of the universe. His position as Savior, Redeemer, Lord and King, and restorer of the lost glory of man, and Lord of creation of the universe, and ruler of the universe, is where we are standing with him. And we are instruments and vessels of hope for the establishment of his righteousness and his reign and rule on earth. That is why I was telling the pastor that it is not a human religious construct, but it's Jesus Christ who reigns and rules in the affairs of men. And who alone can reorder human affairs that is pleasing to heaven and acceptable on earth. Hallelujah. All other systems are rebellious and unacceptable. They may please the human, foolish, blind passions, but they do not lead to eternal life and light. Brethren, don't follow such false prophets and wicked liars. This gives eloquence, the position of Jesus Christ gives eloquent and powerful credence to the standing of the believer as child of God and servant of the Most High and joint heir with Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, who reigns and rules the earth. The exact position of Jesus Christ and the entrance made into Christ through faith in Christ gives credence to our position as Son of God and servant of the Most High. Agents and vessels of hope of Jesus Christ in the affairs of creation. Not just affairs of men, but in the affairs of creation. And that gives us authority to reorder things. Hallelujah. And they shall be established according to the will and purposes of who? Of God. Any other system is rebellious, it is disobedient, and cannot last, and will never last. But permanency is only in Christ. He said, all things shall pass away, but what shall abide? The word of God. And the word of God is what? Christ in written form. Amen. So all the propositions of men and spirits and powers have no hope. I have always tempted to say that if you take community, it lasts only 70 years. The life of a man. Because he believed on man as God. And that is the end of it. So, beloved, don't believe these lies and wicked people that want to destroy your faith in Jesus Christ. Or try to take you out of the salvation. You will have learned of the meaning and significance of your salvation. The remission of sins. Your rise into sonship. And become joint heir with Christ. And assuming a position of authority to reign and rule with Christ. This is a new thing. And you have authority upon that basis to transform human society. And reconstruct society to the praise and glory of God. Let the church say. So what is the faith we are talking about? In today's discussion, we want to define more clearly the nature and structure of the Christian faith and the glory thereof under the topic, the faith and glory of the faith. We may remember that apart from the divine salvation package, the Christian faith embodies all the teachings and practices of the apostles and prophets of old, in addition to the teachings and works of Jesus Christ, the Lord. The prophets and the apostles speak by the unction of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And therefore, Jesus, from the beginning to the end, has been the Spirit that has been in control of the affairs of creation. Amen. He said, there is not anything that was made what? Without him. So anything that has stood and is standing, Christ was there and is there. Amen. And therefore, you cannot say he was not there when Abraham was. Or he was not there when Elijah was. Or he was not there when Isaiah was. 400 years before, Isaiah prophesied about who will be coming. Jesus. But Jesus was the one who gave Isaiah the vision that he will come in. Amen. And he described how he was going to suffer in Isaiah chapter 53. It was Isaiah who said his name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It was Isaiah who gave his name as Emmanuel. And so you would see that the Isaiah wrote 400 years before Jesus came. So Jesus was at the beginning, at creation. In the beginning, Bible says what? The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the things. And God said, let there be light. But the Bible tells that there was not anything that was made without Christ. He is the author of creation. And is the Spirit behind creation. And creation is his glory. Hallelujah! Therefore, Jesus has stood and never will stand. Hallelujah! Beloved, in this regard, we can amount the Christian faith as one. The spiritual background of sin. The Christian faith has come in the context of a spiritual background of the sin of man or disobedience of man and the wicked works of Satan against God. And therefore, the need for repentance towards God through faith in whom? Jesus Christ. If there's no acceptance of sin or disobedience against God or rebellion against God or disregard against God or living a life as if God does not exist or thinking that man can do without God and he's completing himself, this is sin. And if there's this state of affairs and there's sin, for even the faith to start at all, this is the premise that man is in darkness and is sin. And from the Garden of Eden, sin has taken over and man has been separated from God. And the only way that man can regain himself or reconnection with God is repentance. Except you are standing, there is sin, then the Christian faith does not apply to you. But the background to every proposition is that sin is present with man. And all men are sinners. And there's no escape from that. Hallelujah. There's no religious system that can be effectual in dealing with the sin factor. Judaism is only a temporary measure. The law was not sufficient. Romans chapter 8, Romans 7, the word of Galatians tell you that the law has no power within itself to bring good conduct. The law only condemns. It doesn't bring. So the law, which would have been the basis of salvation, became a mechanism of condemnation. And therefore, Jesus had to come and establish a better system of redemption through the sacrifice of his own blood. And he has power to forgive sins. So you come to God knowing that you are a sinner.